I live and breathe Bear Kind, but most people will have never heard of us. But B Corp, they will have. So kind of tying that together is really helpful. And as I said, not super measurable, but it just kind of compound interest over time.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen to one of our inspiring guests. Our second episode for B Corp Month is here. Last time we were talking B Corp in a very big business with Paul from Vivo Barefoot. This time I get to catch up with a guest we've previously had on the show. They were last on in 2022 when they were early in their journey doing just $200,000 a year. I've been following what they're up to with awe and great interest ever since. And when I saw Lucy post just before Christmas that they'd achieved their B Corp status, I knew it was time to do a catch up. I've been wanting to get her back for a long time. And I thought, yes, brilliant. I'm glad I haven't done it yet because we can talk B Corp. So in this episode, she's going to be explaining the whys and wherefores of their B Corp journey, with lots of advice of kind of how to get yourself through the process. Plus, we're going to be talking about a couple of the big developments they've made in their business over the last couple of years. The push into wholesale, bringing her partner Andy in as CEO and how they make that work, as well as the decision to, in 2023, not try and grow their revenue, but rather focus on improving their profit to make the business more stable and to set themselves up for growth from 2024 onwards. Well, when Lucy's around, there's always loads of great advice, and there is loads of great advice in this one. So please make sure you listen to the end of the episode so you don't miss out on her top tips and my own take on the episode. And now to introduce our special guest. Lucy Jeffrey is the founder at Bear Kind, seller of bamboo socks that save endangered animals. Bear Kind is based in the UK and sells globally, mainly via Shopify and the wholesale platform Fair. Founded in 2018, last year they hit £530,000 in total sales, about 20% of which was via wholesale. Hello, Lucy.
Hi, Chloe. Thanks for having me back on.
Great to have you back on. How has it been since we caught up in 2022? I feel like you've done loads in the last 2 years.
Yeah, that's flown by. I can't believe that's been 2 years. We've been very busy. Yeah, some big things have happened. So I guess from a personal point of view, my partner has quit his job to join me. So now we run the business together. And that's been amazing, but also a huge adjustment, but kind of shows the kind of level of growth that we've been able to do that. It's now a family run affair. So that's been huge. And yeah, so when we last spoke, I was really in the space of running it pretty much by myself. I think I had a couple of part-time employees at that point, but the team's been through some changes. So now myself and Andy are running it together. We've got two girls, a few freelancers. My sister helps on the customer service as well. We have grown. Interestingly, our revenue has remained flat, but we're much more profitable. And that was like a big move for us last year, because in 2022, we were hit by Royal Mail strikes at the end of the year. So that would have been after we spoke. So that really tanked our profitability. Oh, we did massive radio ads, but they were very expensive. So our marketing costs shot up. But this year we didn't do the radio ads. So, you know, we went out to millions, but we didn't do them this year and we had the same revenue. So I was like, that's a win for us.
Yeah, the kind of like the ultimate kind of left field from nitty gritty attribution to that we didn't do it and we still did sales. It's like the crazy world of trying to work out which marketing works for you. We'll get into your B Corp journey shortly, but there's a couple of things you flagged up that I've got to ask about, and we'll go in reverse order. So the decision to focus on profit ahead of growth is something which I think is going to be a big thing over the next few years for D2C brands in particular. Going growth at all costs is no longer what we're trying to do. We're trying to be a bit more sensible around all of this. Do you think it was, in retrospect, absolutely 100% the right thing for you guys to be doing in 2023, even though it led to flat sales?
Absolutely. Like, as in, because I think we'll benefit more from it this year because a few of the changes, so there's a few changes in the supply chain and things like that. So we'll benefit even further from it this year. So we really are, this is about the sustainability of the business. If we kept going at the rate that we were going in 2022, and don't get me wrong, we needed that year. We needed to, you know, be known on through the radio ads. That's amazing growth for us. But we would not have survived if we just carried on doing that every year because we simply were not making enough profit. We came out at the end of that year and there was what I think one thing I recommend people do, and this really helped, is really having our finances on lock every single month. So we have our monthly P&L. We really understand the ins and outs because we didn't in 2022. So when it came to the end of the year and we came up to breathe and we realized how the postal strikes had really, like, our shipping went up by 3 times in cost for us. It was horrendous. We'd just become VAT registered, so that hadn't really kind of come out in the wash yet, and the marketing spend. So when we came out of the end of December, our best year ever, we've broken over £500,000 in sales. This is amazing. And then you look at the bank account and think, where's all my money? Because we suddenly had so many bills to pay, and that was all in retrospect. So we had to focus on it. It means that this year we're all that hard work, as long as we kind of maintain that level of profitability, we can go for growth this year. We have plenty of money coming out of the end of 2023 now to invest in channels that we couldn't afford to before. So if I want to work with an influencer, and before we'd have been begging, borrowing, and stealing to do that, now we might actually have some budget to put behind something like that.
I love that you didn't just go, oh man, we just need to focus on profit. But it sounds like you've gone through kind of almost every line in the business. How can we reduce the cost? How can we reduce the cost? How can we improve the margin? So
huge, huge project, yeah.
Yeah, so it really sets you up for future success then. It's not like, oh yeah, we'll just cut the marketing for a year and then we'll be profitable.
Yeah.
It actually becomes an investment in the future. And then the other thing you mentioned that we have to go back to is you bought your partner into the business, which I figure, you know, you said it was brilliant because it meant the business was now turning over enough to let you do that. I think there's also that angle that you have the confidence in the business to get rid of the stable wage in the partnership. And this is going to make enough for both of us. But I guess more importantly, how has it been? Because I can't imagine myself and my husband succeeding running a business together for more than about a week before someone absolutely blew up. So how have you made it work?
For one, I think working together in lockdown, not that we worked in the, I was working the business and he was working at his full-time job. Working in such close proximity during lockdown, I actually think helped us with this because it is very isolating. Suddenly it's the two of you on this island, like running a business, and it just feels like you're screaming into a void sometimes. But it is very hard. I think we're very good at putting on like a front, like it's amazing. Like, you know, look at us working together. You know, everyone loves to share their own good news stories, right? But it can be very difficult. There's definitely positives outweigh the negatives. Andy is amazing at what he does. He's got over 10 years leadership experience. So he's really come in as CEO and really manages and drives that team, put so much structure in that just wasn't there before. So we've just improved so much. And his background is very deep in the finance world. So the improvements we've had, you know, all this driving for profit, the P&L, all of that is coming from him. So it's really, really good. It's just, you just have to communicate so well. Like, we try and sit down every week and have a session of like, who's doing what and what area are we improving on? And we've worked really hard on our working relationship because yes, there's blurred lines. Like it's really hard to argue a work point with your partner because there's just that added level of emotion that is going to be in the relationship naturally. So no, it is hard, but I'd say my tip would be, or like, communicate really hard, really work on the relationship, see it as something to work and improve on. It's not just going to happen just because you happen to be married or whatever. And we now and then we'll sit down with a psychologist and just talk about our relationship, working relationship and our own relationship, and just be like, what are things that, you know, we need to improve on? And that's a really healthy way of working through things. It's really helped.
I do love, Lucy, the fact that sometimes, you know, you're talking about things like, oh yes, they're focused on profit. But no, actually, there was a really serious, tangible bit sitting behind this. It isn't just lip service, but yeah, we'll focus on profit. It's not, we're just going to communicate. No, we hire a psychologist to help us with this.
Yeah, no, it's real deep stuff.
It's like properly committing to actually doing these things, not just going, oh yeah, we work on our communication. We work on our communication. And I think that often is something which people forget about. You know, you hear people go, oh, you need to set out roles and responsibilities early on. And then they're written down, but they never actually happen. So I think that's that for me, from a lot of what you said so far, is like, it's you decide it, but then you really do commit to it. You go next level commitment, and then out comes the results.
Absolutely. And you have to keep on, things change. You have to keep working on it. There's, you know, we've got two egos here, both of us, that are trying to like compete here. And ultimately, the way we're running it is that I'm still the face of the business, PR, all of that side of it. The strength of a young female entrepreneur brand is too strong. That, you know, Andy does kind of, he's not in the limelight as much as he was. And he was kind of a super kid in his past career. Like he was going for like CEO, he was on fast track in a bank. So for him to take that step back has been a really interesting piece for him, because he's suddenly not in the limelight really succeeding. This is more like a team effort, but my face is on it. So like, so it's, we really have had to learn to how to like make sure that we're both getting what we need out of it. So we're both feeling fulfilled. It's been a process, and I think we will always have to work on this. It's, again, it's one of those things, and it's, and we're getting married this year, which is very exciting. So that's we have to work on this, because, you know, this is it forever in theory. So
in theory, and so you're just adding the pressure of a wedding in. So I'm,
why not? Yeah, just everything at once. Yeah.
And the timing of that's been built into the seasonality of the business, I hope.
Oh yeah, because so we're getting married in August, and that's our quietest month.
Yeah, I was going to say, of course it's going to be happening in August. Love that. Okay, look, let's talk B Corp. This is part of B Corp month. I know you're a big fan of B Corp. Why did you decide 5 years in that it was time to do the B Corp workload in a year when you were focused on profit, and so the investment of time will have been critical for you?
I'd been scared off doing it previously. I'd start with that. It had been on my radar, but I'd only been told how much work it was. So I'd kind of pushed it back and back until finally I was in the position where I was like, actually, this is the year I'm actually going to commit to working on it and just assume it will take a while. Actually, and I started by, you know, when you did your sessions of B Corp podcast last year, I was listening to them, and that actually tied up with a meeting I had with a company called You Underwear. Sarah, the founder, was a mentor of mine, and then she's ended up stocking our socks in her shop, and she's one of our best customers, and we've just really built this relationship, and she's the highest scoring B Corp in the country. I'm about 99% sure that's accurate information. I know she's extremely high scoring. So she's amazing. Like, so she's such a role model to me, and I happened to see her in person at an event, and we just got talking about it, and she was like, you know, when are you going to do it? And she was telling me that start the process, because it can take a while to like build the evidence for it. And I'm sure we'll get into the nitty-gritty, but she was like, just start it, because you can start ticking things off and saying you're doing things, and then down the track, that's when you'll then start proving what you're doing by submitting all the evidence. So I came out of that thinking, yeah, like all fired up, I'm gonna do it. And yeah, so I ultimately started the process. And the reason I really wanted to do B Corp is because they are this kind of celebration of businesses around the world that are trying to do better things for people, planet, profit. That's their like three things they talk about, right? And the way I've built our business is it kind of makes sense that we should be doing that, because we're already trying to be better in every kind of space that we touch with our business. So previously I was asked why I wasn't a B Corp before. So when you get asked enough times, you think, okay, this makes sense for me to go down that journey. And that's why I started it.
And we've, you know, having spoken to a fair number of B Corps over the years, often one of the things that comes out of it is it's not just a tick box exercise. It's a process that people find helps them run the business and helps them make the business stronger, not just we filled in a form and we got a badge. Have you found that's been part of it for you, is that you found that going through the process has helped you make the business stronger?
Yeah, from a point of view that it helps me plan what's coming next, because there's certain things on there that I would love to say I can do. It'll just take a while. So I think one of the things we're lacking, that we didn't get points for this, and I know I will in the future, so we'll recertify in 3 years, is things like tracking the kind of life cycle analysis of our products and tracking all of our emissions right down through the supply chain. And the only reason I haven't done that is just a lack of time, and actually funding some of the time, because some of these processes are quite expensive, and I don't even know if I'd be able to do it myself without the help of someone. So kind of mapping all of that out And B Corp's very good at this. And I'd recommend anyone to actually go on their website and do the questionnaire, because you can do it with no obligation to actually go through the certification. But it just gives you literally a list of everything they think you can be doing to make your business better. And I think it enables you to kind of benchmark where you're currently at and where you think that you could get points for versus all the gaps. And then it's just basically a massive table of everything that you could be doing. And I've now used that to kind of promise to myself, but also to the general public, what is coming next. So, you know, I'm starting to work on our impact report for last year, and included in that is I'm going to achieve X, Y, and Z in 2024. And some other things are like longer term, but I think that accountability really pushes you to actually achieve these things.
So would it be fair to say that you know, you filled in all the stuff you thought you could do, and then worked out the easiest way for you to get enough points to accreditate, and then, if that's a word, accreditate, you get enough points to get you over the threshold before then plotting the next 3 years of how we improve our score? Is that a good way to approach it?
Yeah, and I've made it quite easy on myself that I went through and there were things that I ticked. Because the whole point of it is that you're able to prove, you have to like show that you're actually doing these things you say you're doing. So I went through and there were a few things as I went through the process that I was like, okay, well, we don't currently do that, but I can put that in place today. Or, well, we do that, but I have zero evidence of it because I'm a small business. So I don't have governance meetings. There's no reason for me to have proved that before. So I went through the process and went through this, like the certification fee to start the process, having ticked a load of stuff that I did not have in physical form yet, because I knew it would take a while to get through the process. So I was like, okay, once I'm in and they've assigned someone to start looking at my case, I will then be able to say, here's all the documentation that I'm working on it. So I think don't be scared off by the fact there's loads of stuff that you might not be doing, because I think use it as an opportunity to see there's a few things you can start now, and maybe there's a few things you can start in 6 months or a year. And if you decide there is definitely not enough that you're doing to get certified because you have to get 80 points, then at least you have a benchmark of where you could achieve, and always go into the process earlier than you think you need to, because it just takes ages.
The evidence capturing of it all, how onerous is that? I mean, I can imagine sometimes...
I hate admin and paperwork. It's not fun, but I wouldn't say it's difficult.
Is it mainly things that once you've done it, it's done? Or is it things that have to become reporting processes? Or because, you know, evidence could be a screenshot of something, or evidence could be, here's our 12-month report on X.
Yeah, it's a mixture. So there's some things, like a really good example would be, you know, show your company handbook and does it have things like a breastfeeding policy at work and stuff like that. Literally, and you get like a small amount of points for that. So it's all these things. So I think people think it's going to be like, I donate this much to charity and I save this much on carbon emissions. No, there are so many nuances in all kinds of different parts of the business. So, you know, I'm getting points for having a diverse workforce and the fact that we're over 50% female owned and things like that. So very easy to prove some of that stuff. But I'd say that there's other parts that is an ongoing process. So an example would be they start talking to you about your board. So like your board members. So maybe you don't have that. A lot of small businesses wouldn't, especially if you haven't taken investment. But we have a board. We've set up a kind of voluntary board. And as part of those meetings, they want us to talk about sustainable initiatives. So they want us to talk about ESG values. And we can do that. We do that once a quarter, and we can do that more if it's required. But that was a case of screenshotting the minutes and showing this is what we've talked about. This is the action. And then this is when we actually implemented the action. So it's kind of showing that paper trail of what has been done. And that, I think, is you can't just stop doing that. Like, yes, you just won't get recertified if you just stop doing everything you said you were doing.
And now you've got it, how are you finding it's impacting things in the business? Is it simply that now people have stopped asking you, why aren't you a B Corp? Or is there a positive impact starting to come in? And I mean, we are, what, about 2 months into you being certified, so it might be a little bit early to be asking you about this, but what have you found has been the impact of getting it so far?
Yeah, so initially, great impact to start with. Like, it's obviously a great news story. I think it's less tangible, like you can't attribute it to sales or anything like that. But what I would say is it does open doors if you put the effort in, because I think you could potentially get it and then be like, that's it, and sit back. But I really don't think it's some magic wand. I think with a lot of this stuff, it's how much work you put in. So, you know, I'm going out to other B Corps who happen to be much bigger companies than me. And I'm like, hey, same, I'm a B Corp. Like, let's collaborate. Let's, you know, let's send some emails during B Corp month to talk about each other's brands. And that's amazing because some of these companies are actually a lot bigger than mine. So it's the network that I'm starting to use that is really helping. But as I said, that's only if you put the effort in.
I think that goes for so many things, isn't it? It's like whether you're sponsoring the Premier League or you're certified as B Corp or you've won an award from one of the e-commerce awards things, it's not worth a great deal unless you actually put some effort into activating it. And I think connecting with other B Corps, you've automatically got something in common. And then finding ways to help market each other is, I would have said, is pretty much core to the B Corp ethos, isn't it? Supporting each other.
Yeah, that collaboration piece. And we are starting to put it everywhere as well. So when we're printing catalogues and we're going to a trade show at the start of February, so we'll put that on our like posters and banners and everything like that. So it is getting more and more recognised. And I think especially in the space of a trade show where it's a lot of buyers and other brands, they will recognise it. There will be lots of people that have not have heard of B Corp yet, but I think in our space, it's very well recognised. And it's that added label of trust. And we really want that. We want people who are looking for ethical brands. That those are the people that we want to work with. So I think it creates like a natural halo effect around the brand that, you know, I live and breathe Bearkind, but most people will have never heard of us. But B Corp, they will have. So kind of tying that together is really helpful. And as I said, not super measurable, but it's almost like brand marketing, isn't it? Not super measurable, but it just kind of compound interest over time.
I can see in the wholesale space it becoming a little bit of a filter as well. You know, I can see people coming up to the stand and going, what's B Corp? And you're like, oh, okay, you're slightly lower down my list of follow-ups because you're clearly not already in the mindset. Whereas if someone comes in, hey, brilliant, you do B Corp socks. I've been looking for B Corp socks for ages. Then they're like, they're getting the Monday morning follow-up post-show, helping in that way too.
Absolutely. And I've said to our contact at Fair on wholesale, I want it to be a tag on their marketplace. Like I want us to get the juice of having that, especially because there's, I think, 7,000, maybe over 7,000 B Corps in the world, which actually in the grand scheme of things, is not that many. So we really need to be cashing in on the fact that we're in this little group that are doing, you know, really well in this space. So yeah, we'll push for that. But you're right, it is a good filter as well. And then just a good conversation starter as well, especially because I will make the effort to go up to other B Corps at the fair and be like, oh, hey, when did you certify, like me too? And just it's that little club that we're a part of.
It is kind of mad that there's only 7,000 in the world, considering how well known it is.
Yeah, there's not many, but that just shows how strict they are, which is good.
Yeah, which is a very good thing, definitely. Okay, any last advice, final thoughts for someone thinking about going B Corp in 2024?
If you're thinking about doing it, definitely just do the questionnaire regardless, because even if you don't get enough points on that, you'll know where your gaps are. And the second thing is if you're about to go into it or you're going through it now, make sure you get over 100 points. You have to get 80 to be actually certified. We got over 100 when I like first submitted. You do drop quite a few points because it gets to the point where there's certain things, there's nuances that it's quite black and white, their process. So there were some things that I'd argue we should have got a point for that they said, no, you don't have the, it's not quite right, so you won't get the point. So there was a few things we lost points on and a few things that changed also during the process from our point of view. So it meant we lost points in other places. So if you're doing it, make sure you get over 100 points because you're guaranteed to lose some points in the process.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are. It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. Not that you haven't given us a ton of those already, Lucy. So are you ready for the top tips?
I'm ready.
The book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
So I know a lot of people would mention a business book, but I have quite badly, maybe, I've not read many business books in the past like year. I've focused on myself and fiction books, but I have a good one. I think working on yourself is just as important as working on the business, because you are the business in most circumstances. So one I've read recently is from Brené Brown, Atlas of the Heart, and it is about all of the different human emotions. It's kind of like a really detailed glossary of all the types of emotions there are, and just understanding them so you can communicate better with other people. And I think it's really good for like interpersonal relationships. So myself and Andy and discussing it. So rather than, you know, saying I'm sad, I could be like, oh, I'm feeling distraught at this or something. It's really about labeling your emotions in a better way, just so you can communicate better. Because what I've learned is, as humans, we're terrible at understanding our own emotions and communicating it. And really, that's what we need to be good at.
I love that. That's brilliant. That's totally going on my wish list. Thank you for that one, Lucy. Traffic top tip: which marketing method do you either prize above all others, or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
So I think, again, sadly, Facebook ads is like our number one thing that drives our traffic, especially at Christmas. So although it's boring, I have to say Facebook ads, but I will caveat that with, we constantly interact with it. So it's not just set and forget. We don't use an agency. We do it all in-house. And during Christmas, which is basically Q4 for us, we are looking at it every single day and adjusting and adding new ads and changing the budget and things like that. So I'd say the kind of constant interaction and also the iteration, we're putting new ads live all the time to kind of test and see what works. That constant iteration is what is great for traffic.
Yeah, don't set and forget, everybody. Please don't set and forget. And good to hear that, or hear it said, because we all know it's true. Facebook ads, there is still opportunity there. It's not written off, everybody, but you've just got to put the work in. Okay, the tool top tip: maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
Yeah, I use this AI on my inbox called Sanebox, S-A-N-E, and it filters out all of the rubbish that I don't need to see, and it filters it into later, a black hole, news, and then my normal inbox. And then I can train it as well. So I start training it of what's what. So newsletters go into a separate one. Anything it doesn't think is urgent and it's surprisingly accurate goes into later. And then so the only things I see in my inbox are stuff that I need to see. And it gets better with time as well, because you just train it. So the amount of emails that go into the other inboxes is huge. And I'm like, I can't believe that I was allowing that to be in my headspace every day. So I'm talking hundreds of emails getting filtered out. So I really recommend it.
So follow up question on that one, because I'll confess, I am a bit backward in adopting AI. And the idea of letting AI decide what I do and don't see on emails, maybe I'm being overly arrogant, but it scares me. So how much work did you have to put training it? Or was it like 80% good on the beginning?
90% good to start with. Like, and I don't, it's just another inbox folder. So, you know, I've got my primary inbox and then I've got later, and I'll click on that and I'll just have a quick scan through if there's anything it's missed. One occasion, and I've been using this since the summer last in 2023, one occasion I missed an email that I really should have seen, and it just kind of delayed a payment or something. But out of all of the thousands of emails I'm getting, it is very, very accurate. And you can train it as much or as little as you want. So it's all the sales emails that I get where it's like, Lucy, quick question. I put that straight into the black hole and I will never see that person email me again. It's amazing.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Or you might have persuaded me. Not sure. But like I said, I am properly backwards on this. So so anyone with an AI tool, you know, hit me up. Dare I say that?
Just pretend it's not AI. I'm just oblivious to that bit. It doesn't feel like AI, even if it's, yeah, it is.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because like the Google separate tabs, that's Google's AI working on it already.
Yeah.
You know, the primary, the social and all the rest of it to an extent. So I just need to get over it, really, don't I? Anyway, before we go off into Chloe's hang-ups about AI in her inbox, let's go on to the next question in the top tips, which is the carbon top tip. What's your favourite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce store?
Okay, so I've been cheeky and I've got two here, because I think a top tip feels like it needs to be something fairly quick, but I don't think there's always quick win tip. I have got a quick win just to like make it sound a bit better. But my longer term tip is, especially if you own a product business, I think circularity is the future. You know, this is our long-term strategy. And I truly believe that these are the types of products that will come out on top in the next 10 years. So a truly circular product. We need to be done with the linear, because we all know everything is just ending up in landfill, even if it is supposedly like completely recyclable, a lot of it is ending up in landfill. So the circularity piece, I think, is a huge one. But my quick tip, and I think one you can do today, is use the search engine Ecosia instead of Google, Safari, whatever you use, because they plant trees based on how many searches they get.
And that's Ecosia, everybody. And I heartily recommend that too. I have made that switch and been using it for about 12 months. And I can never go to Google anymore, because they're making big gains too. There were a couple of things initially I was going back to Google for, but they've built it in now. So yeah, I'm all about those guys. So great advice. Thank you, Lucy. In a moment, we'll cover where people can find Bearkind and you. But you have also done something which very few e-commerce founders have ever done, which is to be candid about what's going on in your business. So you are sharing so much via your YouTube channel. Can you please tell our audience a little bit about it? Because I do suggest they all go and have a watch.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is one thing that was kind of born out of just playing around. We really wanted to start sharing more about what we were doing. And we initially started a podcast, but it has turned into a YouTube channel rather than a podcast, because we realized that the shorter form content was working quite well for us. As you'll know, it's incredibly hard work to run a podcast and keep it going. And so it is with a YouTube channel, but it's, you know, the content's much shorter form. So what we do is we've got our brand on YouTube called Candid Founders. So you can search for that and we'll pop up. And it's all about sharing what we're doing as a business and again, top tips and things like that. I'd say we're very focused on the wholesale side of things. So fair marketplaces, if you're on those or thinking about going on those, I'd really recommend looking at the channel, because we share everything about how we've managed to grow on those channels. We know because we've spoken to them. We're the biggest sock brand in Europe on fair, and we're not the biggest sock brand in Europe full stop. So we've obviously done enough to really grow in that space alone. So we share a lot of good advice. Obviously it's YouTube, so it's for free. So I recommend taking a look if you're a product business.
And what's it called and where can we find it?
So Candid Founders on YouTube. And we have a website, candidfounders.com. But if you search Candid Founders on YouTube, you'll be able to find us.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Lucy. And before we say goodbye, could you please let the listeners know where they can find Bearkind and yourself?
Absolutely. So you can find Bearkind at bearkind.com, and that is B-A-R-E, not Bear the Animal. So bearkind.com, and it's also Bearkind on all your other channels, Instagram, LinkedIn. I'm Lucy Jeffrey if you want to connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm quite active on there as well. And yeah, as I said before, Candid Founders on YouTube, and you'll have both of us on there. And Andrew Kemp, I think he's Andy Kemp on LinkedIn, So he's my CEO. So if you connect with both of us, we share quite a lot.
Brilliant. Thank you, Lucy. And thank you so much for coming on and sharing your B Corp journey and so many other bits and pieces. It's always great hearing what you're up to. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me, Chloe.
How lovely to get to catch up with Lucy there. I did tell you she's going to be a great guest. She is a brilliant guest. And I really do recommend going and checking out their YouTube channel as well, because the stuff they're sharing, especially if you're trying to build those wholesale channels, is really, really good. And sometimes it's just nice to hear what someone else is experiencing in the e-commerce space. Well, that's kind of like what we do here, but you know what I mean. So I guess lots of great advice around B Corp, kind of lifting the lid on what it takes to get certified. So some great insights there. I guess I said it earlier in the episode, but the fact that Lucy really goes for it. If they make a decision, they really go for it in terms of making sure it's going to work. Like bringing her partner, Andy, on board, getting really clear about how they were going to make it work, and then really committing to making sure it would work as the months and the years roll by, and addressing the issues as they crop up in a sensible way. And then the they're taking a year to focus on building the profit into the business so then they could scale at a greater margin. Again, something I think a lot of you are going to be doing this year after the overstock issues of last year and the margin issues of last year and all the other stuff that's been going on and the general economic situation we're in. Great advice. Hugely thankful to Lucy for coming on. You can get your hands even on the notes from this episode, including the top tips and links to what we've mentioned by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast or use our lovely special little short links, which are ECMP, short for e-commerce master plan. So ecmp.info/ whatever the number of this episode is, put that in the URL bar and you'll be directed straight to the correct page on the website. When you get to the website, you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the things I share to help you improve your business. If you liked this episode, then you can check out all our B Corp episodes at ecmp.info/B Corp, strangely enough. Thank you so much for tuning into this and every episode of the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. I bring you a new interview every week because I want to inspire and help e-commerce business owners like you to succeed and thrive with your businesses, including progressing along that all-important path to net zero, to circularity, to sustainability. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. I hope you have a brilliant week and don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.